Welcome to Witch and Goddess. I'm your host, Patty Black. I'm a witch, a teacher, and priestess. Goddess devotion is an essential part of my craft, and many goddesses are my cohorts in magic. Each episode, we explore a different goddess, her lore, and how to connect with her energetically and magically. Hello, and welcome back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for returning if you've listened before. Stay tuned at the end for details about how to reach me. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, I love to hear it. Today, we are reaching back into the misty tales of Welsh myth to experience some of the beauty and sovereignty of Rhiannon. The original form of her name was Rigantona, which means Great Queen or Divine Queen. Her sovereignty and the unique way it's expressed are interesting themes. Her legend is often framed as triumph through tragedy. Her grace and forgiveness, even when wrongly accused, is considered redeeming and admirable. Rhiannon appears in the Mabinogi, the medieval Welsh story collection, as a fairy woman or as a beautiful woman who comes from the other world. She was promised by her father to a nobleman she did not want to marry. Her tales say that she came upon Pwyll, who was the prince of Dyfed, when he was sitting upon a famously enchanted hill. He saw her riding a beautiful white horse, seemingly slowly and steadily, and yet, try as he might, over several days, he couldn't catch up. Eventually, he simply asked her to stop, and she did so, stating that it would have been better for him to ask from the beginning. She determined to defy her family and marry Pwyll. Of course, there were a series of trials they had to overcome, one involving Rhiannon's magical bag, which could never be filled. A few years into their marriage, Rhiannon gave birth to a much-desired son and heir to Pwyll, who is now king. However, after everyone fell asleep, her son went missing. Desperate to escape blame, the nurses, who were responsible for watching over the infant, smeared dog's blood on Rhiannon's face and concocted a story of her murdering her newborn. Of course, she insisted on her innocence, but it apparently seemed believable to Pwyll and his advisors that Rhiannon would have been strong enough to overpower all of her nurses and commit the crime. She was sentenced to sit at the gates of the city for 7 years to tell the story of her supposed crime to all who passed, and to offer to carry all visitors to court upon her back. Years later, her son was returned to court, and Rhiannon was vindicated, although the circumstances of her son's disappearance remained mysterious. Part of her triumph is that throughout this tragedy, she bore her punishment with strength and grace, and that she retained her status as queen, another reason she's considered such a great queen. She's considered a wronged woman and associated with sovereignty, forgiveness, loyalty, and love. Because of her origins in the other world, she's considered a goddess of healing, death, transformation, and magic. She's most commonly associated with horses, but Rhiannon also had three birds whose songs could revive the dead or lull the living into a comatose state. Because of her songbirds, it is said that she loves music as an offering. One of the interesting things about Rhiannon is that there is a distinct lack of evidence confirming her historical status as a divinity. No artifacts proving that she was worshipped as a goddess. Likewise, scholars and historians point to a lack of evidence of cults, temples, and shrines devoted to her. This has led some of these experts to conclude that she was not historically viewed or worshipped as a goddess. In other words, she may have originally just been a figure of myth and legendary tales. Okay, so this doesn't need to be relevant to our practices and our relationships with her. Yes, I frequently include details about a goddess's ancient cult practices and temples in this podcast. These things are fascinating, and I love imagining the lives of ancient priestesses, the sounds and smells of the temples, the ways in which they served and worshipped a goddess. But this information is not what quote, validates a god or goddess as divine or worthy of our devotion. Come on. I'm here as someone whose primary goddess, Morgan Le Fay, is best known as a fictional literary figure. Failure of the world at large to recognize the divinity of some spirits does not negate it. Now, if you've listened to previous episodes, some of you might have picked up on my feminist tendencies. You probably didn't notice, but as my mom would say, I've got these ideas. Ideas like a woman's value is not connected to, and certainly not defined by, her relationship or value to a man. Or another idea, I hold that a woman's worth doesn't increase in relation to her willingness to be quiet and sacrifice her liberties. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to claim that we should not encourage women to be ever patient and compliant. That shit has not worked out for us over the past, say, 6,000 years. I say this to explain some surface discomfort I feel about Rhiannon's myths and themes. And if I have misgivings, there's a good chance that some of you share them. There are strong arguments for Rhiannon's function as Lady of the Land. In the legendary tale of Rhiannon's marriage to Pwyll, she is thought to test and then choose the ideal king. To me, this theory diminishes her role to that of a romanticized and sexualized representation of the land, i.e. property, and a means to legitimize one man's claim on it. This is a common theme in Celtic myths. A sovereign or divine woman represents the land and selects an appropriate king or ruler. The chosen king then marries the land by mating with this goddess figure. It can make for a beautiful tale, but once again, we see the woman as merely a means, however romanticized, for the man to reach his end goal, which is the rule and possession of the land through a woman's body. Interestingly, as the story of Rhiannon's time with Pwyll proceeds after their marriage, she is less and less vocal and empowered. Her role and her magic seem to shrink considerably as Pwyll is now in charge. Then, after being wrongfully accused of killing her newborn son, Rhiannon submits to a humiliating 7-year punishment, which includes carrying people on her back, like, or magically transformed into a horse. It's consistent with Welsh customs at the time that these tales were finally committed to writing. A medieval woman was essentially owned or ruled by her closest male relative. So her father or brothers before she was married, then a husband, and either a son or back to a brother if she were widowed. Similarly, after Rhiannon was widowed, we see her son offer her in marriage to his best friend. But as with medieval Welsh culture, Rhiannon does retain at least one right, the ability to accept or deny the marriage. I've got to say, I have a hard time with this stuff. These are not stories I want to share with my young daughter. But I try to consider these myths in the context of the times in which they were recorded. The fact that Pwyll stood by Rhiannon throughout her punishment and retained her as queen was seen as a major victory and sign of her enduring sovereignty. Also, lessons of strength, perseverance, and patience abound in these tales. Rhiannon overcomes this period of great loss and then thrives. However, if you're still kind of turned off by a goddess bearing people on her back, consider a few things. We know that pre-Christian Celtic tradition did not allow sacred teachings to be recorded in writing. It was a strictly oral tradition, and it was very important to memorize the teachings. Therefore, we have no written records from the periods when these myths were being widely circulated in spoken form. Their stories were finally recorded by Christian priests and monks who were motivated to encourage women of the time to submit to patriarchy. It's not a stretch to think that the recorded myths might have been altered somewhat. What I'm saying is that as modern goddess devotees, I don't think we're married to the mythology. Myths are channeled, experienced, and recorded by inherently fallible humans. Yet, no matter how flawed, humans have found inspiration and guidance in myth and legend throughout history. And others are more inspired by modern revelation and personal gnosis. Both are valid. Both are valuable. Speaking of revelatory goddess work, there is a hub of modern goddess devotion in Glastonbury, England. Among goddess conferences and priestesses of many varieties are the non-traditional Avalonian priestesses of Rhiannon. These modern devotees are revisioning and experiencing Rhiannon as a sensual goddess of love. My priestess mentor, Demelza Fox of Rockstar Priestess, just happens to be one of them. Witches and pagans who work with goddesses have found a great deal of inspiration in their myths and legends. They serve as a point of entry into devotion and are often considered the official sources of a goddess's associations, themes, and areas of special power or ability. And this is where I place emphasis on the phrase, quote, official sources. I'm a defender of personal gnosis, sometimes referred to as unverified personal gnosis, which is an individual's personal experience with a god or goddess. There are many pagans who don't trust or accept personal gnosis. I respectfully disagree. I have to wonder, how are the experiences or stories recorded by monks and other sources, widely acknowledged to be biased towards Christianity and against empowered women, how are they more trusted than that of modern goddess followers who spend sacred time and energy in meditation, conversation, and ritual with these deities? How can we accept the magic and power of the gods, their abilities to support and communicate with us, but deny that these beings are living, developing spirits? Absolutely, we must apply serious discernment to teachings that we believe we have received from the gods, and even more so if we intend to share it with others. But it seems silly to deny the very possibility that our perceptions of gods and goddesses can adapt and grow throughout the centuries. Some of Rhiannon's magical themes include the ability to manipulate time and the perception of time for others, age-defying beauty, connecting with the world of the fair folk, magical transformation, and travel to the other world and the underworld. I would consider her aligned with magical tasks related to improving physical and emotional strength, fertility, motherhood, and asking for what you want and need. If you are creating a shrine for Rhiannon or leaving offerings, think about some of the following. The colors white, gold, and red, images or statues of horses, especially white, blackbirds, cauldrons, magical bags, apples, cakes, honey, mead, and especially music. If for some reason you want to hear more of my voice, you can join the Society of Magical Humans. This is a very affordable subscription group, Facebook-based, where I host twice monthly magical and witchcraft classes. It's for all levels of practitioners. Some are hands-on workshops, while others are discussion-based. The classes happen on Zoom and occasionally on Facebook live streams, and the recordings are always available after for everyone who can't attend live. We have a lot of fun in our casual and super supportive little coven. If you want to join, you can find the link on my website, blackbirdmagic.com. That's magic with a K. Just look for the Society of Magical Humans tab. If you have any questions about the group or the podcast, you can always click the message button on the Witch and Goddess page at Anchor FM, or you can find me on Instagram at Witch and Goddess Pod. Sources for this episode include Rhiannon, Divine Queen of the Celtic Britons by Jenna Tellendrew, and The New Book of Goddesses and Heroines by Patricia Monahan. As always, thank you for listening, and may you realize the goddess within and express her without. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe and share this podcast with fellow magical people. You can directly support this show by visiting the Witch and Goddess page at anchor.fm and clicking that support button. Follow the show on Instagram at Witch and Goddess Pod, or find my programs, classes, and groups at blackbirdmagic.com, on Facebook at Blackbird Magic, or email me at witchandgoddesspod@gmail.com.